Blog Talk Radio.
What's good with it, Big C?
Nothing, man. Got done watching some of that women's national championship. Did you catch the game?
Nah, man. Not at all. No, don't do those.
Why are you laughing?
Just because, man, I can't watch that.
You can't watch college basketball?
Can't watch women's college basketball. No.
Oh, man, why not?
I don't know, man. It's just never really been something I could really get on with. But I like Coach Ariema. I hope he won. Did he win?
Yes, UConn won round 10, I think. 10
points.
That's
what's up. And then if it was more of them that looked like Candace Parker, I could probably watch that. But.
Oh, Candace Parker.
Yeah.
It was a decent game. Of course, you kind of wait watching his Notre Dame.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm glad they beat Notre Dame. I can't stand Notre Dame.
Yeah, so he got, I believe, 10 national titles now. Can you rank him among top college coaches?
Oh, yeah, top college coaches, yeah, men and women, yeah, for sure. But not where they're trying to put him, no, like with Phil Jackson and all that, no. But top college
coaches,
yeah. But
that's NBA.
I know,
college,
but
yeah.
They were talking about coaches with like, 10 championships. Like, they were trying to say Red Auerbach, and they had mentioned that within those same people. And I'm like, no, I can't go there, but he's obviously an exceptional coach. And
okay,
you know.
Now, to kind of play devil's advocate, Phil Jackson, now, I don't use this argument. I never
have.
You
can just call it that, man. You can call it devil's advocate. That's what you do. Go ahead.
No, that's not what I was debating. I was debating something else. So I never used Phil Jackson coaching top five greatest players of all time. But that's what people say when they say, how great of a coach is he? They say, well, he had Jordan and Pittman.
Uh-huh.
Or second coach. Okay. So it's kind of like a discredit. I don't do that to me. I don't think it's fair, but it's kind of like if a player plays,
well,
would do.
I'll say this. The easy and the quick answer to that one, to just debunk that one, would be, that, I mean, name me one coach that's won championships that didn't have great players. And then that one's over. So you got to have great talent.
Well,
you have to have great talent to win. And, yeah, they've had some of the best talent. But I don't even – I mean, and then on the other side of that, the argument could be said that, I mean, we've seen a lot of great players piled up on teams and haven't won championships. So, you know, I think that that's a pretty lame, you know, way to look at it, but at the same time, I get why people say that, you know, oh, well, he had Jordan, oh, well, he had Kobe, yeah, well, you know, I think to discredit the man, I think that to get, you know, not to mention the rest of the players, to get those players to all play to one accord and buy into your system, I think that that's a job in itself that not many can do, you know, so. That would be my answer to that. But as for Ariema, though, man, yeah, I think it's obvious. He's a great coach. I'd like to see him. I would like to see him if he could do it, you know. Like, I know he's happy where he's at probably, but, man, I would like to see him if he could do it, like, with the men's game. And then, because he, you know, recently talked some trash about the men's game, and I think he was probably right a little bit about it. But it'd be cool to see if he could do it, like, in the NBA or even the WNBA or even, you know, men's college or something like that. That'd be cool to see.
He did speak about the men's game, about the pace of
it. He's right.
And I don't know,
yeah,
that's just
right.
A lot
terrible,
of fans.
Man.
Well, see, my problem is I don't necessarily care for 1,000 points a game, you know, because what he was talking about at one point was how a lot of games now, you know, the pace is made pretty much for offense to score, because I guess that's what a lot of fans want to see. But I still believe there are more fans out there that don't need a high-scoring game for a game to be good. I'm not saying no 25-22-point final is a good basketball game, but if both teams are playing solid defense and, you know, other teams just not hitting, I can deal with good defense.
Well, yeah, again, it's about the product, though, and I think that it's – I mean, I think for college basketball, for what it is, it just gets grinded out, man, and I think they do need to make – I mean, I don't know. I think that's the consensus, though, from many basketball people that's the case. I think where college basketball is right now, I think the people would agree, you know, that there does need to be some more scoring in college. But I think you're right, too, though. We don't need to see 100-point games. So flip it around. Just the same, like with what you're saying, I think you could flip-flop, and I think that you could give a little bit more scoring to college, but I would be fine at the NBA. I don't need to see 140 to 127 in the NBA either, because they've kind of legislated defense about. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of the same type of thing. I think a little tweak, a little adjustment on each side for both of those would be a good thing. You feel me?
I do, especially like in the NBA, they took away – you know, the aggressive defenders. Like we said before, Anthony Mason probably wouldn't last. Charles Oakley
wouldn't last. I'd love to see him
And those are players I like watching. You know what I mean? It's like,
rest in peace, Dennis Anthony Mason, Rodman, while we on that. So,
I don't know if you remember Dennis Rodman when he played for the Pistons, but he used to guard Jordan.
Of course I do.
There's no way
he
would be able to do that in today's rules. Now, I'm not saying those hits.
What do you mean?
But
that's why... You're right. And that's why what Jordan said is true, too. I don't care what nobody say. He could average 50 in this league. Excuse me? Of course.
Look, hey, if Russell Westbrook and Harden all in putting up 41 and Curry
man.
At 6'3 and 6 feet tall, get someone 6'6, 220 that same ability.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm glad we agree on that.
Oh, definitely. And so...
You know,
and I don't, like you said, I don't care to see 150 or 105.
Nah, me neither.
99.
Nah, because that means it wasn't no defense. None, hardly.
Right.
You know, no defense. And then on the same, which is what we were on college, just the same, I don't want to see 54 points. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm sorry. That's not what I want to see. That's just not it. I want to see a little bit more scoring. So.
Yeah,
and you know me. I mean, it doesn't matter what sport we're talking about. I respect defense. I mean, I love to see a no hitter. I love to see a defensive shutout in football. But at the same time, I understand what people are saying. You know.
Yeah, especially you know what I think it is, and I don't know. This is just my theory that I look at ESPN from when I used to watch it in the '90s when I could watch it about four times in a row. You know, like it was new. But I noticed they, like, in football, when they show a defense, they just showing hits and maybe a nice interception. But they're not emphasizing defense unless it's like this LOD defense where they just scaring everybody. But in baseball, they only show no hitter. But they don't – in basketball, they don't show defensive plays. Like, last week, what's his name? I can't think of his name from Milwaukee. Got this nice dunk on dude. Pretty nice one. He up faked from the wing and got and dunked on the center, and everybody was highlighting. They kept showing it, but the very next play, he tried to dunk on the same dude, and the dude knocked him on his butt off a block. And I'm like, well, why didn't they show the block? It was the next play, and what I'm throwing that example is because that's why I think people just want to see all this scoring in basketball, because I don't think ESPN shows defense is still good or fun to watch. So. You know, I do think people are affected by media, but if you show that getting steals, like Gary Payton used to get all the love, he wouldn't get love today. I mean.
Hell no. And that was then. You remember that. I'm glad you brought that up. The glove, dude. Like, that was a big I mean, think about that. GT, I mean, this dude had a, I mean, he had a big time shoe. That was, I mean, that was his deal. That was his moniker. He was the glove. I mean, what happened to that? You would have thought by now we would have had another dude where it was like, man, you know, he's like a young GT. Nah, we don't get none of that. And it's not even encouraged. You know what I mean? Like,
well, because the best defenders are what was that?
No, I was just going to say, what's the last defensive point guard you know of besides Rajon Rondo? I mean, that's crazy, right?
Well, what I was going to say was, if you know him for playing defense only, or that's a big thing, then you know him as a cheater. I mean, you look at Bruce Bowen, which I still do think he's suspect. But
was he I don't think Bowen was a point guard though. I'm pretty sure Bowen was.
Oh,
a
you think of just point guards? No, I was naming.
Yeah, I was
just
thinking just point guards because like he was just point guard. That's what I was talking about.
Your guy from Houston Rockets. I think his name is Peter or something like that. The little scrappy dude that got Russell Westbrook's ACL or ankle sprained or something. He's a little scrappy guy that no one really likes because he don't give you no room to breathe.
Yeah, I don't even know he's talking about. Not Aaron Brooks.
No, I don't even know if he's still on their squad.
I thought he was. But, okay, yeah, actually, you might be right. He might not be there no more. But I actually like him, by the way. I got one. It's a blast from the past. Bobby Jackson was kind of a – I mean, he was a second stringer, but he was pretty good on defense too, you know. But man, it's crazy because you're right. There's like no
Patrick Beverly.
I didn't even think about that. Patrick Beverly, okay.
Yeah, the guard from Houston that, you know, he's known for being feisty and aggressive, but people don't like it because stars complain about it. Once a star complains about it, then ESPN runs.
That's amazing to me. And you're right. And they legislate it out. It's like, yeah, it's almost like a coach complaining about, watch so and so, and then they, you know, they badger the refs enough, and then that's kind of what happens. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But you're right. No more gloves.
No one does, so I just think that's why everyone wants scoring and dunking, which is all fun and dandy. I mean, this is why, put it like this, ESPN constantly says the Spurs are boring. And why? Because they fundamentally correct. They do the way they play basketball the way you told them, which is why they stay winning.
You gotta keep in mind though, always in context and always look at, and we talk about this. ESPN's talking about the average sports fan. Now,
right.
If you know basketball and you really know the game of basketball and you know what you're watching, then not only should it not be boring for you to see that, but it should be like a breath of fresh air because it's amazing to see what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's really amazing that team basketball, to see the amount of assist, to see the selflessness in the game, and to see everybody on one accord listening to one great coach's plan, and it actually coming together. And you winning championships doing it, not just lightweight, blowing teams out, playing team basketball. That's amazing to me.
Right. No,
you know, and I know you do, but I'm just saying, like, average fan, they see that, and they're like, oh, they want to see a couple superstars ball out and score all the points.
Yeah.
And that's not what the game, in my opinion, predicated on. Not at all. So.
It shouldn't be the reason you watch a game, a team game.
No.
But that's Well, I believe that, like you said, the fans are starting to get to the point where they want to see 90 points a game, you know, and all that. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's good. But then it just looks too easy. Because then you start, and it's crazy because the same people that say that complain so much about fouls not being called. I'm more complaining about fouls being called. I'm like sitting there watching the game. I'm like, you can't call that. And they're like, well, he passed him. I'm like, let some of these contests got to go. This is a, I mean, you're so close.
Well,
you got
those are the same people, too. Right. That's what I mean. It's like, there's contact on every play. It's just, it's kind of like they're the same people that just like in football, there's holding on every play. Now, you got to decipher when, you know, you're going to call. You can call it every play. Or are you just going to, you know, are you just going to allow some of that to go on? Because that's just how the game is played. You know, that's just how it goes.
Well,
you know,
a foul, so, the foul is supposed to be called if it really does affect what you're doing. Like, are you running off the screen? Did me hitting you really knock you off your feet?
I'll say this in the context of what we're talking about, man. NBA refs have a hard job, man. Especially nowadays with these guys faking and flipping and flopping everywhere, a.k.a. LeBron James. So, yeah, man. You're right. Like, how do you – I don't know. I think their job is a lot harder than people realize.
Well, I'm not saying it's easy, but there's a couple things that I think should go on. I know in football, I don't know in basketball, but I know these people got different actual careers outside of refereeing. But I always
I don't think so.
Should, okay, not all of them. Maybe
not at the
professional
level. No. Not at the professional
level.
Well,
I know those replacement refs were all like lawyers and teachers and stuff.
That shouldn't be the case at the professional level, no.
Well, that was a professional level. The replacement ref a couple years ago.
Oh, replacement ref, sure. Yeah.
I always thought with the real refs that they, at least like before their season of their sport start, they should play in a league. Like basketball refs should play in a league of referees and just understand that you shouldn't be calling that because if you guard another post player, that outweighs you. Like in a basketball league, you know, in the adult league.
Oh, okay. You think they should, like, play the game, the actual game.
Yeah, with each other, though. Not, like, just go pick up a game
anywhere else.
But there should be an association with refs that they should play in a basketball league and play each position on top of that, not just guard
play
guards.
That's a decent point, actually, E. Ask you this. Why haven't more former guys who burnt out, who due to injury, who just again didn't, you know, after their time in the league, why did they not become refs, I wonder? I mean, who would know it better?
There have been a few players, not stars, but, you know, like journeymen or something. There are some refs that were former players. But it's real hard.
Them refs.
It's hard to be a game and not
be playing.
Right. I mean, like, I finished in college. I wouldn't want to referee college basketball. I might do NBA.
Right.
I don't like high school sports that much, but there are people that actually watch it. But if you did it in NBA, it'd be too hard to coach it. I can see why a player is like, I don't even want to, especially if you're not really a coach or in the office, you don't even want to be around it. And then you'll call the game different. Like, I couldn't be around.
To your point, though, I mean, I get that, but to your point, don't you think that'd be good, though?
Well,
like
no, that's
work.
What I was getting to. I said no because I looked at, did you watch any of the game this weekend or Monday?
Yeah, the championship game.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean, yeah.
So there was one play. I forgot who got one of the kids got their dunks blocked, and there was a little body contact, but the ball was clean. Like the other guy's hand was on top of the ball, their bodies connected, but it wasn't like he flew into him. and they called it a foul. I wouldn't call that a foul.
Right.
One, because
there was a lot of
too hard to play defense. And
well, you're
I
right
think when
in that
people
instance.
Go up, yeah.
You're right. You're right on that one. I know what you're talking about.
When two people go up and it's a block and the ball is clean or the dunk was
mm-hmm.
blocked or the layup was blocked clean and a little body here and there, I don't think you should just
yeah.
give the offense that kind of call every time. So
right. Well, that's
why
that's,
I would
do that's why it makes it so hard, you know? It's a hard judgment call, man. And that's why I say I feel like those guys are under a lot of pressure, man. They got the refs on their back. They got, I don't know. I'm just trying
the league
to,
on their back.
You're saying.
They got the fans on their
Wait,
yeah, got,
yeah,
you
know, I'm talking about just the refs, like what you're saying. Like, I just feel like they have a pretty tough job. Don't get me wrong, but it's my team and the ref blowing call. I'm sitting there, you know, fired up, pissed off, this and that. But I do understand that those guys have a tough job, and it's tough to officiate, man. It really is. I do think like what you're saying though. There's got to be some like I don't know, you call it like what retroactive like training to where you're right. Like by now, to scenarios like you just brought up, they should be equipped to handle those scenarios. You know what I'm saying? Like they should,
yeah.
They should be more seasoned and used to seeing plays like that. Because I feel like, especially in that game that you mentioned, the championship game, man, there was look. I don't think it affected the outcome of the game, but I will say this. I'll say that there was a lot of calls in there that were questionable in that game both ways.
Well, I will say this. It does affect the game because you look at Okafor, and they when Okafor went out, that's when you Wisconsin actually went on their run. And what it is, like in football, if you're a quarterback, if the ref starts calling it a certain way, now you, especially if you know playing a certain way, and then all of a sudden the ref's like, no, we're going to call all that. Now you got to play a whole different. You probably could do it, but
that's right. You
it turns more
that.
From you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it ain't always
yeah.
easy. Like, I mean, especially
no,
Okafor,
no.
Yeah.
You got to make that adjustment.
He's a big dude.
You have to make that adjustment as a
his,
player.
Right.
Know.
And it changes
so.
Your game. I mean.
Well, yeah.
And
you have to make that
and
adjustment.
And then you're getting fouls. He's getting foul
right.
trouble,
right.
so now they got to play around. So,
but
if you
notice, though, specifically to Okafor, you're right. He did, but he didn't make the adjustment. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it was being called different than probably he was used to, and some of the calls were questionable against him. But at the same time, he never made the adjustment. Never. He was getting.
I think he did.
He was getting blown.
I think
by,
he did.
Well. Yeah, I disagree.
Were you talking about guarding the dude, or are you just talking about his play?
I'm talking about his play on offense, not getting offensive fouls and trying to bow into people and run people over, and when he was guarding Kaminsky. He continued to all game. That's why he's in foul trouble, at least from what I've seen. He was trying to guard him head up, even though, and I mean close up, even though he was getting blown by and spun off, every time he tried to do it, he wasn't giving him a space and making him pull up and shoot the jumper instead of him blowing past him and then him getting a foul call called on him. I'm just saying, I never saw the adjust. Maybe you did. I didn't.
Yeah, I kind of see it because he only got that one reach and foul off a spin. Kaminsky was tough for him, just like.
Hell yeah, man.
Well, it's because. College coaches, even Duke, you look at it, it don't seem like they
yeah.
really – I'm not going to blame the college coach. I'm going to blame high school and AAU coaches for not really getting these players ready for different type of play. I mean, he hadn't guarded any big man that could play everywhere on the court. And, you know,
when you're watching tape, I mean, give me a break. I mean, come on, you know who you're playing against here. You seen what he did last
yeah,
game.
He's a big heavy footed dude, and Lewinsky
right.
was shooting like 5 feet
yeah.
behind the 3-point line.
And that's why that could cost him money also, because he had a fairly poor showing in a championship game. Don't get me wrong, they won, and I was actually surprised they won because I thought when they were down 9, they were going to fold, and I got to give them credit. they didn't. But anyway, but about just about Okafor, is that his name, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have a really good showing, and I think it kind of showed some of his flaws. I mean, you look at what Kaminsky was able to do against him. Damn, I can only think like, man, think about like a guy he might have to guard, like Anthony Davis or I mean, even lesser players. I mean, he's gonna have some problems. It just seemed like his agility wasn't there, and I don't know if that was just that game or because Kaminsky was such a tough matchup, but man, it just seemed like he was having a hard time, you know, adjusting.
Yeah, it's hard. And you know what, but I'll tell you this, though. I was telling someone before game, that's why not only is there bias because I played the position, but I love the center and sometimes power forwards because you have to guard the other big guy. There's no,
right.
All right, I don't want to wear myself on offense or defense, so I'm going to switch to guard the
right.
shooting guard while you take the center. Like, guards can switch.
Yep.
You know, Jordan
right.
didn't always guard the best guy because they had Pippen for that. But,
right.
you know, Olajuwon couldn't just take off a Shaq or vice versa. So,
Sure.
You know, I don't even know if you got to give people props for doing something they had no choice of doing. But he did the best he could. I just thought my thing about the college refereeing is it's too inconsistent in one game. And sometimes in both halves because, okay, if you're going to call it ticky-tack in the first half, then you got to do that both halves. But then all of a sudden,
you're right. You do have to. You can't just open it up second half.
Yeah, and they were doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a lot of plays where I'm like, oh, that's a foul because they called that earlier. And then, like, nope, this time we're going to let it go. And it's like,
right. But I feel like that – you're right. I get you on that. I feel like that happens, though, don't you? Like, even in the NBA game, I feel like that kind of happens where it's kind of a natural, like, transition where they call it tight early and then they loosen it up. But if what you're trying to do is be consistent the whole time, then really you should just keep it as tight as it was before, right?
I think, you know what I mean?
Like,
and I'm one of those
I think so, too.
I'm one of those fans, like, I don't care, and I might be in the minority of this, where I don't care about that, oh, you can't make that call at the end of the game. I'm like, if you can make it in the beginning, you can make it in the end. Because the players are already adjusted to how you made that call. Because there's some plays, like,
I know what you're saying, man.
You shouldn't have made that block or that charge. I'm like, hey, call it. Don't let me get away.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get stupid stuff happening at the end of the game.
Well, that's just like saying, well, I didn't want to ruin the game for him. Well, no. Did he make the foul or did he not? I know what you're saying, but again, we know that that's not how it is called. And a lot of them will, you know, they say, oh, I'm not going to make that call to end the game. I don't want to make that call to – and I understand both sides to say the truth. You know, I get both sides.
Switch over to the NFL. So one of the big talks right now is Phillip Rivers possibly going to Tennessee, which possibly can get Mariota to San Diego. Now, before you actually talk about discuss,
I thought,
you know,
Mariota was going to
trade. What would you think about Phillip Rivers in Tennessee? He's 30, something like that, so he's not too old.
I think Phillip Rivers in Tennessee is a problem for Phillip Rivers, not for anybody else. What does Tennessee have to offer for Phillip Rivers as for weapons? And I think that that's a completely dumb move for San Diego, because San Diego was actually – I felt like they were actually looking pretty good last year, and then obviously they made it to the playoffs. I think that's kind of a – I think that's a dumb move. And I'll also say this, is that if you're trading to try to get Mariota and you're giving up a whole bunch to get him, I think that that's crazy to me. I would understand it if it were Andrew Luck coming out. Okay? I understand it even a little more if it's Jameis Winston. But it just history hasn't proven that a system quarterback like Mariota has panned out in the NFL. I can't recall when that's happened, and so I don't know. And if for that matter, never mind a system quarterback, but just what is your game plan to get a young guy, a rookie, to come in? What do you think he's going to do for you? So I don't know. I don't see how anybody wins in that deal. And I thought it was flipped around though. It was the Bears and Jay Cutler was supposed to be the trade for so they could get Mariota.
Well,
okay, yeah. So, but either way, I don't think any of it makes any sense. None of it.
Well, man, you see Chargers just about there all the time.
We have.
Do you just keep rolling with it? Or do you try?
I don't know, man. I feel like if you.
I do. First way. I do.
In the NFL, yeah. I mean, it's too hard to even just make the playoffs, man. It's too hard to win game to game, week to week. And I think if you're. The only reason you make that play is, are you blowing the whole thing up? You might as well trade Antonio Gates and everybody else too. What are you doing? I mean, I don't see the play there. And then the same thing for Chicago. Chicago's actually got a pretty good nucleus. They got a decent running back. Even with losing Brandon Marshall, still got a good tight end. They got a pretty good, Jeffries or whatever, a decent team. So I'm sure everybody wants to get rid of Cutler and this and that, but I'll take Cutler where he is now than a first-year quarterback. I don't care if it's Mariota, Winston, or anybody in the first year, really, outside of probably like an Andrew Luck.
Really?
The reality of it is Jay Cutler's probably going to, in most situations, he's going to win more games than all those guys, even with what he is for their first year. That's why I say, I feel like if you're building for the future and you want to try it with Mariota, that's all fine and good, but what are you saying about what you're doing now and what you had going on last year? I just don't see how that makes sense. And to be giving up a bunch of future draft picks or whatever it may take for you to hop up to be able to get him, I don't see what all the hype is necessarily about Mariota. I understand he's a good guy, and I think he'll be great, not going to get in trouble, going to work hard. I get all that. But other than that, physically and the tools that he shows for a quarterback, I can't see anybody doing that, and it making any sense. So,
so you kind of think that you should, right now with San Diego, they should just continue to ride with.
Yeah, I think they just need to, yeah. I don't think they need to change course at all. I think they need to stick with what they have. So.
Well, I'm the same way. It's kind of like with my Niners. It looked like they were dismantling the team as if we were just the bottom of a barrel. Changing coaches, letting players go, letting players or not trying to keep players from quitting.
Right.
You were thinking like, well, they act like we was the Browns or the Bengals, where it's like time to start over. That reminds me, because so you aren't really a fan of Andy Dalton, but they're
not at all.
To me, similar to the Chargers and Cowboys, where they're right there, but they're not getting over their hump.
They're not similar to the Chargers and Cowboys at all.
They're not.
No, not at all. Since they haven't won a game, Cowboys won a playoff game. Cincinnati hasn't won a playoff
game. 8 years ago?
They won one last year.
They won a playoff game last year? I forgot.
What are you talking about? Yeah, yeah.
Really forgot. I just said
but for a bogus call, they probably would have went to the Super Bowl. So, yeah.
Oh, you told me.
So, yeah, man. And I'm not a Cowboy fan by any means. I mean, I think you know that. But, no, let's just keep it. Yeah, and then what are you talking about? Same with San Diego. San Diego's also won a playoff game recently also. So I don't think you can compare the two at all. And both of those two teams that you're just talking about San Diego has a way better quarterback than Andy Dalton, so no, I don't think that we can.
Right,
and Tony Romo is way better than him also. So.
Well, yeah, but they still
so they're not close. They're not close to anything.
Well, they still winning 10 games a season. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't mean
good or bad.
They're
getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, they're getting to the playoffs and losing in the first round horribly. All the games that they lost, none of them were close. And it's just that they never really had a chance in those games. So I'm just saying that them specifically, Cincinnati, I don't think that that's a good comparison at all. I mean, I would say the Bears probably were closer than Cincy, even though they didn't make it in. I thought that they were going off of what we had last year. I think that they had a better team than Cincy did.
Oh, as in players and stuff?
Yeah, players and stuff. And again, it's, you know, quarterback-driven league, man, so we know what that is. So with Dalton, I don't know, man. I think that I don't see them moving any kind of forward. So, you know, we talked about this before, too, with Marvin Lewis also. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's a guy either.
Well, maybe it'll be a coaching change thing that could be.
Coaching, I mean, one of them's coming up. It's just a matter of which one, coach or the quarterback.
Yeah. And
maybe both.
Is there what are the Raiders doing? Have you been updated on your Raiders?
Nothing, man. I think that they're feeling optimistic as far as I know. It's just with the, you know, with Carr or whatever, and hopefully they'll have a good draft. That's pretty much in Raider land. That's all I know. Hopefully, you know, get some guys in the draft and hopefully build on, some of the positive things that they had going on last year. You know, it wasn't a lot, but I think that the quarterback position was one, and hopefully Khalil Mack will be coming into his own at linebacker, so we'll see. I mean, that's the only thing I can figure from the Raiders.
Well, I see they picked up a Green Bay Packers safety, Sean Richardson, and they meeting up with Michael Crabtree. What do you think about him? You already know I don't really care for that guy.
I think Crabtree's decent, and he's an upgrade to most receivers that are on Oakland. I think he'd be fine in Oakland. So I think he'd, especially with a guy like Carr throwing it to him, I think he'd be a good addition. I don't think they need to go crazy paying him anything crazy, but I think that he'd be a good addition for sure. Especially if there's no, you know, they don't have the chance to get anybody else. I don't know. Man, I'm kind of off right now. Well, I don't know where we're at with free agency or any of that, but I don't know. I don't know who's out there available. I thought there were some receivers available this year though in free agency. So we'll see what happens there.
In the draft, who are some of the receivers coming out?
In the draft?
Kevin White. Yeah.
Probably
not y'all first pick, though, but I know, isn't Kevin White one of the big
names? Amari Cooper's the guy in the draft. I don't know. I think we may miss him by, like, one spot if he goes where he's projected. But if he's there, I think we're 4 or 5, and I think that somebody else maybe had a need there. I forget who had a need there, but he's not supposed to slip to us. But if he does, that's who we have to take, I think. So.
Well, I mentioned Kevin White from West Virginia. He's supposed
to be. Yeah, he's pretty good, too.
I'm not sure. They got Devontae Parker from Louisville, the receiver from Arizona State, he's 6'4", and then Doral Green Beckel.
Yeah, I don't think that this is going to be a very receiver-heavy year, like last year with Beckham and those guys. So I don't think this year is going to be all that great for receivers, as far as I can tell, outside of the couple top two guys or whatever. So I just hope we get somebody. That's it.
Well, y'all focusing on defense still, right, probably at this point?
No, I think the needs are all around. No, I don't think we have it. I mean, I think every team needs at least a go-to receiver. I don't know if we have that. No, we don't have that right now. So I think that's pretty high on the needs list. But yeah, I think Crabb would probably be a good addition. You know, he lives in San Jose, so that would be easy for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we almost coming up on the Floyd Mayweather fight, less than a month. Our access, I believe, starts when? Next weekend. Has there been any changes to what you heard following the fight or for the upcoming fight?
Any changes in the sense of what?
You know, like any like are they saying Manny or Pacquiao's out of shape?
No, I haven't heard anything like that. I've heard that Floyd is really training hard. So, I mean, just a little stuff that I've read online, and then other people that have said a couple of things on a few sites that Floyd's in crazy shape. I mean, I know he's always in good shape, but they're saying he's running like 7 to 12 miles a day, something crazy like that, and he's going to be ready, and I'm sure he will. So.
Yeah, when you listen to Floyd, how he tries to act like this is just another fight.
Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do.
I mean, he's supposed to, but, I mean, in reality, we know things are different.
Yeah,
you know,
sure. But that's what he's supposed
training,
to do.
Like
he's
supposed to be training a lot harder. He's supposed to do what?
Yeah, he's training, of course. Of course he's going to train harder. But, yeah, but of course, you know what we get. We're going to get, oh, yeah, it's going to fight, woo-chee-woo. Yeah, I think it's not just too, like, to downplay it, but I think it's also that's how his approach probably has to be. You know what I mean? Like they tell you, just even though it's a championship game, whatever it may be, you got to approach it like it's just another game. And yeah, it's hard to do, but if you can do that, you probably be better off. You know?
Right.
So, but man, I don't know. That'd be hard to do. I'd imagine he's probably got some nerves going. I mean, that's just only natural. So.
Well, earlier you was have you seen any video of him fighting any other opponents that make you think different of what could possibly happen?
Well, yeah, man. I recently seen some video that I hadn't seen from a Mayweather fan a Pacquiao fan that was showing me this video, trying to convince me why he's not going to lose his money to me come May 2nd. But he's obviously taking Pacquiao, but he was showing me this fight that Mayweather had, and it was crazy because he was trying to tell me that, you know, it was like 5 years ago, and I'm like, there's no way, you know, how can I not remember this fight?
Right.
And like, it had to be a long time ago. And anyway, it was against some guy, some chop-chop something. Boxing guy. Yeah.
DeMarcus Corley,
Yeah, and so he was showing me, he showed me a round of this fight, and just watching it, you know how it is with video. Sometimes you're like, man, you could tell that, like, the age, like how old the video is. I'm watching it, and I'm thinking in my mind, like, wait a minute, I've been following Floyd a long time. So this has to be super old. Plus Floyd's looking real young in the thing, and I'm like, man, this can't be. The guy tried to tell me it's 5 years. I'm like, no. But anyhow, what I did see in the video was that Floyd was kind of getting touched in the fight. Like, I've never really seen him take punches like that. And mind you, I only watched one round. But the round that I didn't watch, I was surprised to see the guy was actually making real good contact with Floyd. And, I mean, they were kind of both slugging it out. It was more of a, kind of what, you know, a lot of fans want to see out of Floyd. I mean, they were slugging it out, you know, both taking punches.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that this guy was actually able to touch Floyd like that. And I never heard of this chop-chop guy. But again, I'm not up on boxing, you know, as much as some other people. But yeah, so I was surprised to see that. But again, even seeing that, that didn't really mean much for me because obviously what we know what the outcome was. So
right.
He didn't win the fight, but he was trying to, you know, correlate that to, oh well, since this guy, such a lesser boxer, was touching him up, you know, and able to make good contact, then, oh man, Pacquiao's going to just, and I wasn't able to make that same connection. So.
No, you can't, because one, he fought a decade ago, maybe, you know.
Yeah,
not
man,
to
I'm
say
glad.
That, and the difference is really, yeah, Floyd might be a little slow, but his intelligence is still in the game. Has went up way high,
yeah.
Which is why he's still one of the best at his age. And
And
that was the first round you probably watched because they were throwing him for the first round. And like we've seen with Floyd, he's the best at picking up your timing. And three, four rounds later, I mean, if you look at highlights, you rarely see him caught. All those highlights of him getting hit was like the first three rounds. And then after that, it's like they can't even get close to him. And he's not running, despite this theory that Floyd runs.
Right.
I mean, for every video you show me him running, I can show you him in the ring, in the center of the ring, or against the ropes. Now, to me,
if
you
got
somebody back against the ropes, that's your advantage. I mean, in all sports, you're supposed to use any sideline or corner that you can use to help you out.
Yeah, I mean, that's we're talking avid boxing fan versus the guy who wants to see a fight. You know,
that's what I'm talking about again from fans on TV. ESPN was only showing, you know, highlights and Rocky movies and believe that dude's supposed to stand there and just throw big haymakers on a fight.
But you know what, man? Let's just be real. Man, there's a lot of people want Floyd to lose. Not only do they want him to lose, they want him to lose by knockout. They would probably be happy if he got hurt, like for real hurt, you know. So Floyd has a lot of haters, man. He really does, and you can tell because when you bring up the conversation to people about what you think about the fight. Oh man, you know if they're a Mayweather fan, then. You know, you get the typical, you know, well, he's going to do his thing and this and that. But if they're not a Mayweather fan and they're a Pacquiao fan, it's not just, oh, I think Pacquiao's a better fighter. It's, well, I really want Mayweather to lose. I don't even think it's so much about Pacquiao, but I'd be cool if he lost. You know, I get that a lot. I don't know if you do.
I don't get it. They're not most people I talk to that want Pac to win. I don't get it straight out like that. They're looking at saying Floyd can't take a hit, but that's been disproven. He don't take many hits, but that's the sport itself. You don't want to get hit, and you damn sure don't want to get hit in your head off. Like,
you don't want to end up like Pacquiao. You know, Manny, are you okay? Steal one from Stephen A. And just be laid out and lifeless in the ring. So yeah, you definitely don't want to get hit. That's the goal.
I'll tell you
just
what.
So we can reiterate that to people who don't know boxing. The goal is to land punches while not getting hit.
Yeah.
As many punches as you can land while taking the least amount of punches. There you go. Let's just remind people of that. This isn't UFC. I know, you know, as a society, we like to see a brawl, but give me a break. This is boxing. That's why it's called the sweet science. So let's just put that disclaimer out there for people who think that that's what they're going to get this fight, is that's not what you're going to get.
No, Mayweather, that's not Mayweather's style, and you either watch it or you
don't. It shouldn't
be
anybody's style.
Well, right, but I'm just saying, like, why would you, if you... If I hated somebody, if I hated Frank Bruno, I don't know if you remember Frank Bruno, I wouldn't.
Frank Bruno. Is that a boxer?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, he was a heavyweight.
I do.
From England, tall black dude.
Okay.
But, you know, if you didn't like his style of fighting or you didn't like him, I'm not going to order his fight. I don't watch things I hate. You know, I don't. It's a one-on-one event.
You surely don't pay for him either, do you?
You don't pay for it. You don't make it a special event. You don't gather around. I don't even care if you want to see them lose. If I want to see them lose, I'd rather hear about it later.
There you go. Yeah, you don't pay $100 to see that.
Right, and it's like, now, going on to the, this is somewhat related to boxing and all sports. I know there's people that don't like trash talking, and the people I know that don't like trash talking probably either one were never good at it or two either weren't good at it and weren't that good at the sport. Because it is a cultural thing. And I'm not even just going to say black or white. I'm talking about where you grew up. Where I grew up, trash talking was normal on the court. So it doesn't bother me to hear it. Now, some people didn't talk back, but they would either not good or they would set you up by talking, by playing on the court and killing you on the court. So,
exactly.
And that's the thing with Floyd Mayweather. A lot of people probably never boxed or were good at boxing, so they don't like his trash talking. And, you know, if people realize he did that for money, they probably wouldn't trip. But the biggest thing is Floyd, for me, Floyd put too much emphasis on being undefeated. I don't believe a boxer needs to be undefeated to be great or the greatest.
Not at all.
And
I
that's
agree.
What Floyd, he kind of put, because every time he talks about 47-0, 46-0.
The best ever. That's a joke.
Yeah. He's like the best ever because I'm undefeated. I'm like,
can't be the best ever and be a lightweight or a middleweight, or a welterweight. Sorry, not gonna happen. Not in my book. But that's a whole other argument. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, let's jump to that. Who's the greatest boxer ever?
I gotta go with Muhammad Ali, man.
Okay.
And again,
now, some people say.
In the context of, let me just finish this, though, real quick. And the reason I say that is because, like, we judge anything. Because you can't have it both ways. Mayweather doesn't get the benefit of just getting judged by what he does in the ring. So, again, can't have it both ways. So, that's the context that we're going to put this in with Muhammad Ali. It's not just what he did in the ring. It's everything else. That's why, for my money, he's the number one.
Okay. I go with Sugar Ray Robinson. He was a welter, middleweight, and then he tried light heavy, which was not a good idea, but he was, at that point, I think money was involved. But, I mean, this dude had about 200 fights. There was a span of 6 years where he was fighting every couple of weeks. And he was still getting knockouts, and their fans would say, oh, he was fighting weak dudes and not all champs. But to me, fighting every 2 weeks, I don't care if you're fighting scrubs. You still put your body out there against someone just as big as you that can fight. He may not be good as you, but he can fight. That's, you know, he got 173 wins with 19 losses. And he just demoralized cats in the ring. And that's why we put him up in the greatest or you know, top three at least. And I know yours is more on the emphasis of heavyweight.
Yeah, it's just that's.
And why is that?
I would say that. I mean, I don't know, man. I love Sugar Ray Leonard, too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think that he would probably be in the two slot for me. You know what I mean? Like, he's close with it, too. But the reason the emphasis is on heavyweight is because I just feel like when you have two heavyweights fighting, I feel like that's kind of just – that's always been, in my mind, the top. I feel like when it comes to, like, physically, the size of men, you know, that's going to be like the number one, I don't know, because I feel like if there weren't weight classes, right, those guys, the big guys, the heavyweights, I mean, obviously, they're going to win most of those fights against anybody else. I just like that that's the top of the class. And that's just what I've always felt. And I think that that's – I don't think that I'm alone on that either. I mean, I respect, you know, guys that fight in lighter weight classes. But, again, it's just one of those things. It's got to be a heavyweight for me. So, again, that's a personal preference thing. But I don't think I'm alone in that. So,
yeah,
you see, yeah. So I don't know where you're at with that, but it kind of goes to this too. When you see a welterweight fight, right?
Yeah.
Outside of, and I mentioned Sugar Ray and Hagler, like those guys to me, they're almost like, I mean, those guys actually fought, so they're the only ones I can really feel like to, like, you know, maybe a Duran or something like that are eligible. You know, I feel like that's the other thing with the heavyweights. Heavyweights, you get, you know, two big grown men fighting. I don't get the rush. I don't get the excitement. I just don't have a lot of respect for lightweights. Just don't.
What about like James Toney and Julio Chavez or Roy Jones Jr.?
Yeah, James Toney was a light heavy.
Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah, James Toney's a light heavy.
He was more middleweight.
Middleweight is cool. Middleweight is cool too. But I'm just saying, I just feel like, you know, yeah, and I respect those guys too. You know, I mean, even a Roy Jones, you know, light heavy, middleweight. You know,
well,
his
light heavy wasn't good. He was light. James Toney and Roy Jones were better known in their middleweight division. Believe it or not, I know James Toney don't look like he was ever middleweight, but
I know that he was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's kind of, yeah. That's my deal for boxing, and it's funny because you know I really like UFC and that, and so I feel like it's not the exact same, but it's close to that. Even with UFC, it's just like it's hard for me to take the whole lightweight very serious. That's not what I like to see as a sports fan. Once you start getting into the middleweights, even some welterweights, I feel like it's good, but there's nothing like seeing the big boys get at it.
These are like the big old thugs when they're slapping I just like
watching, you know, grown men, you know, go to battle, not the little guys. That's all.
Baseball has started. Did you ever watch the Dodgers yet?
Yeah, actually, I caught the tail end of the San Diego game the other night. So,
where
I missing Matt Kemp though, man. Gosh, I just hate that we got rid of him.
Who?
But Matt Kemp.
Oh yeah.
But
didn't
we got the favorite.
He got three RBIs, didn't he?
He did. But we won that game. Our new additions handled it. Jimmy Rollins, Jelly Roll from the Phillies boy. We got Howie Kendrick. The Angels. We're looking good, man. We spent a lot of money.
Man.
The most money ever. So we'll see.
All right. Well, you
never
keep us up on baseball. You're gonna have to keep us up on baseball.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Oh. Peace.